We're in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're learning the laws of the blessings, the laws of the brachot, and this is Siman Vav, the sixth chapter. Aleph. Kodem sheivarech ezer bracha tzarich hu ladat ezer bracha shu tzarich levarech. Prior to making any blessing, a person has to know what blessing he's about to make. You can't stand there and say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, then look in and say, "Oh, it's coffee, it's not wine," and then Shakni Odor. No, you're supposed to know before you make the blessing what blessing you're going to make. Kedei, huh? Okay. Everyone agrees you're supposed to know, ideally. Kedei shebshashu maskil Hashem yitbarach, so that when we say God's name, Shui Karabacha, that's the main part of the blessing. Yedam Hashem yisayim, you know what you're going to end the blessing with.
Didn't the Mishnah Berurah say that if you know they're going to bring up, technically if someone's bringing you up fruit, you can make a blessing as it comes to you.
I don't think so. Every blessing you make, we're going to see, you should ideally have the thing in your hand.
But you can do that.
Right? I think that the Mishnah Berurah meant something else. Meaning, when you make a blessing, you have about 2 seconds to eat the food for that blessing to count. So how are you going to say? Someone's in the office and he's going to bring in the food.
It takes more 2 seconds to say bring the cow, bring food for the cow.
Right.
And you can still eat after that.
Good point. So that's because you're busy with the thing of the blessing. We'll learn that. It's a good point. We'll get there. V'asur la'asot shum devar b'shah shum varech. And while making a blessing, one isn't supposed to be doing anything else. Meaning, if you're going to make an Asher Yotzer, you're not supposed to be drying your hands while you make an Asher Yotzer. Any blessing we make, we're supposed to be focused on the blessing, not doing other things.
That's the problem. Because you know it by heart, so you just start saying it and you're doing other things.
100%? Yeah, this isn't an easy halacha to keep. V'lo yivarech b'mirut, a person shouldn't bless quickly, ela yichaven perush hamilot, but a person should be focused what the words he's saying, what do they mean? V'zeh shon sefer chasidim, and this is what it says in the sefer chasidim, when one washes his hands, or he's making a blessing on fruits, or on a mitzvot, or he's making a blessing on a mitzvah, he's making a blessing that everyone knows the blessing. He's going to make the blessing. So he should have a kavana, he should focus his heart to bless the name of his creator, that did wondrous kindness with him, and gave him these fruits, or alechem, or this bread, to enjoy from them. Or when we're going to make a blessing on a mitzvah, we're putting on tefillin in the morning, so we should have kavana that I'm blessing Hashem who commanded me this mitzvah. And he shouldn't perform the blessing as a person who does something he's accustomed to, and he's doing something by rote without thinking what he's doing. A person is not supposed to make a blessing just because he's accustomed to making a blessing. A person is talking to his creator, so he should focus on what he's saying. And regarding this, God angered at the Jewish people because they were making their blessings by rote. And he sent us word with the prophet Isaiah. God told us, being that this nation has, how do they translate Nigas?
Draws near.
Huh?
Draws near. And honors you.
Okay. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is distant from me, and their fear, their God-fearingness is really just a force of habit. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Leishaya. God said to Isaiah, see the actions of my sons, they're only external. They're behaving like a person who's just doing something that's what my father did, that's what I'm doing. They come to my home, to my temple, they pray before me, the set prayers, like their fathers did, not with a whole heart. They clean their hands, they make the blessing over the washing of the hands, they break bread and they make the blessing of Hamotzi, they drink and they make their blessings, but all of it is as something that they're fluent with, but not as something that they have intent as their dun. And this is a problem which very often when people start at Machon Meir, they're very quick to comment that the people they see who are doing things by rote and don't have kavanah, and how come shuls pray so quickly? And I always tell guys, give yourself a year, 2 years, when you'll know it well, fluently. You'll see that this is one of the big challenges, that when every day you make the same blessings, to stop, to pause, to focus, to remember that we're talking to our Creator, this is one of the challenges in performing blessings. Any tips? So I think that the first thing is to pause. Usually we think we're going to save time. I always say that the people who rush out of Minyan 2 minutes early spend their lives rushing out of Minyan 2 minutes early. It's not because today they have to rush out. Almost always, once a person gets into the habit, so he's losing patience and he's forgetting to value what he's doing. I think that tips over here, this is a spiritual experience. So the tips are going to revolve around how do we enhance a spiritual experience. And one of the things is to have set times when we do more. If a person says, every Rosh Chodesh I go and I daven slowly at the Kotel. I used to have a few times a month, I'd visit Rav Halberstam Zatzal to ask him questions. You guys ask questions, I have. So I used to come, that's how I learned by him. I'd come, sit in the waiting room like everyone else, and then get my 2 to 5 minutes with him asking him questions. So next day's Beis Medrash, you'd have to show up early to sign up. Next day's Beis Medrash was a Hasidish Beis Medrash, Yerushalmi Hasidim, you know, with their zebra jackets. So I'd go over there to daven. And I always felt like after coming out of there, my davening for a week was better. Because over there, you go to daven, and the Hasidim, we have to learn from them how to daven. They daven with, they're all yelling. So I don't know if I could handle that kind of prayer every day. But once every so often, so it allows a person to reconnect. Huh?
They yell?
Yeah, young, old, everyone.
They yell?
They yell, yeah. They yell up to Baruch Hu, they're yelling. What?
I was there once.
Yeah, so it's it helps. So I think that one of the things a person can do is try to have these experiences which keep shooting him up again, which hopefully will have an impact on him long term. Another thing a person can do is pause. That's one of the things I try to do, like to pause before I make a blessing. So remember what I'm doing. That's the idea of those signs about Asher Yatzah. Think what this is all about. And the last thing which I think can be helpful off the cuff, that I also find helpful when it comes to davening and blessings, is to have a seder of learning. Meaning if you learn every day, I used to do it when I was in yeshiva before I went to sleep. A small seder, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, learning a pirush on the prayer, so then you could tell yourself, I won't have kavana, but I'll have kavana on the line I learned yesterday. And what happens is that when we have that minute that we zoom in, so he starts to say, wait a second, what kind of bum am I? I'm not going to have kavana for the next minute? And it lasts. And if we spend our time, if we take time during the week to invest in understanding the tefillah, so even though we think we understand the tefillah, but every time we learn a new perush, so you go through tefillah that way, so it helps. When I had less time and didn't fit into my schedule, so I do it on Matzei Shabbos. So once a week I learned tefillah. But then all week I tried to focus on that line, those two lines, that paragraph that I had learned. And that I think also helps. And I think it also helps to learn different perushim. Meaning if you've worked with art school for the last 2 years, good. If that works for you, still good. But in a year or two, you might need something else. So you'll learn a new perush. And that helps keep it interesting. But don't forget that the main point is pashut pshat. The tefillah. But it's interesting to note, as you read Pashup Pshat, different things. You read in the Halalukas, we say, Hanoten Sheleg Katzamer. God gives snow as he gives wool. What do we mean? So I remember as a kid, the Rebbe once told us that it's spectacular how God makes things that are white, and by the same token that he makes snow that are white, he makes wool that's white. The snow freezes us, and the wool warms us. And we say, just as God gives snow to freeze the world, he gives tzemer, he gives us the wool to help protect ourselves. So you read that and suddenly, wait, You have an understanding in that, and then that helps us focus. Kivnei Orev Asher Yikrao, we read in the Halukas, as the raven's children, when they call out. What's special about the raven's children? So you learn the Medrash that discusses that the raven, when his children are born, they're white, and here there are different versions of the Medrash. One Medrash says that he doesn't recognize them, he thinks that they're from a snake's eggs, and he runs away from them. And another Medrash says that because when the baby ravens are born, they have white spots, or white, so the raven turns to his wife and says, "You cheated on me, these aren't my kids," and he leaves. At any rate, he doesn't stay and feed his kids. And then God made it that they get worms that grow out of their feces, and the baby ravens peck at their feces, and that's how they live. And so the pasuk is saying, "Kivnei Orev," like the sons of the raven, Ashayikal, that they call up to Hashem. Their father isn't there to feed them. They don't have food from their parents, but they call up to Hashem, and Hashem made it that they have their food. So you read.
So feeding, they ate worms in their.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what the Medrash says. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says later on, as they mature, their father or their mother comes back and feeds them when they turn black, when they turn fully black. That's what the Medrash says. I don't know.
I didn't know how they fed them. That's really gross.
I hear. So I'm just saying, as we learn Perushim in the Tefillah, in the blessings, now you learn why is it that in a blessing we say Ataz, though God is standing opposite us. First person, you, and then Melech, third person. So as you learn that prayer, so every time you make a blessing, you stop, you think. That helps us focus. Those are the three things I could think of. Okay, back to the... Sorry, you want to ask something?
I was just saying, I actually have the opposite problem, because I'm still learning to pray in the grid. I'm so busy concentrating on how to pronounce the word that sometimes I forget to have kind of anna. I mean, although you try, but yeah. It's like, you know, so what can you do?
In the beginning, you'll see in 10 years you'll have this problem.
You heard what?
and that's not a curse.
you heard what the Rav Chaim Volozhin said, right?
No.
About the
tefillah? I'm listening.
Well, yeah. Chassidim, you know, like in the Tanya, Negro the Kodesh? Okay. No, not Negro the Kodesh, in the what was that first part of it? Anyways, in the Tanya. It says there, someone who prays without kavanah hasn't yet said the Tovah. He doesn't. One of the prays without kavanah didn't. What is it? How do you say that?
Didn't fulfill his obligation.
Didn't fulfill his obligation. And so, Rav Chaim Volozhin said, "Well, that's not completely true. Why? Because in the base of Mikdash, there were different types of offerings. There was the bulls and the lambs, and there was also the mincha." Which was just, you know, a little bit of flour and some oil and etc. So he said, yes, it's true that when someone prays with Kavanah, it's like he offered an ola or a lamb or something like that, or a kevis, whatever. But when he prayed without Kavanah, he still has a sacrifice. He still has his mincha.
Okay.
Just to read the basic words.
Okay. Not familiar with that. Okay.
You didn't hear that? Rabbi Blumberg said it.
I hear. Okay. So the pasuk says, the Sefer Chassidim says, even at the time that they make blessings, they don't have a mind to bless me. Lachen al ken chara po v'nishma b'shmo gadol la'abed chokhmat chachamav ha'yudim oto u'mvachin oto b'minhag v'lo b'chavana. That's why the prophet says in Yeshaya, God says, I have angered and sworn in my great name to wipe out the wisdom of the wise that do know God, and nonetheless, when they make a blessing, they make it by rote without intent. Dichtiv batrei, because the verse continues and says, Lachen inani yosif chulu v'avda chokhmat chachamav. Lefiha chesiru chachamim al hadavar v'amru. Therefore, our sages warned, they told us, Asei dvarim neshem po'alam, do the things for the sake of the one who caused them. עד כאן לשנות, till here is the Sefer Chassidim. ראוי לאדם שיגיל את עצמו לומר את הברכות בקול רם, a person should get accustomed to saying the brachos out loud, כי הכל מעורר כוונה. Because when we hear our own voice, that inspires kavana within us, that causes us to be better focused. So what do we see today? We saw that when one makes a blessing, one should know what blessing he is about to say when he says God's name. and that God is upset, even with the sages, even with the wise person who makes a blessing and he knows his stuff, but when he makes the blessing, he's not focused. So we said a person should be focused when he's making a blessing, and part of that we said is that a person shouldn't be busy doing anything else and shouldn't say the blessing quickly. And we said one of the things that would help in that is saying the blessings out loud.